They say two's company, three's a crowd. But does the same rule apply in American politics? A number of Republicans have called for a third-party candidate as Donald Trump gets closer to securing the Republican nomination. But there's a group of people who've publicly decried the two-party system long before Trump rose in votes. Murray Dabby is co-coordinator of Georgia Independent Voters. Good morning, Murray.
Good morning.
And we also have Ron Rappaport with us. He teaches government at the College of William and Mary. Welcome, Ron.
Thanks to be here.
First of all, Ron, Bernie Sanders, although he is an independent, he doesn't count as an independent candidate, right? Because he's running under the Democratic flag.
Right. I think in the United States, anyone can declare themselves a Democrat or a Republican and run in these primaries. It's quite unusual, but this has been an unusual year with Donald Trump, who certainly is not a lifelong Republican running on the Republican side, and Bernie Sanders, who refused the Democratic nomination for Senate last time, saying he was a socialist, not a Democrat, running for the Democratic nomination.
But Murray, the thinking behind this, I assume, is that Bernie Sanders needed to declare as a Democrat because he wouldn't have had success as an independent.
I think that's true. Also, running as an independent, it would mean having to gather almost 1.5 million signatures around the country as opposed to about 50,000 signatures around the country. So it's a big difference to run as an independent. The obstacles are huge.
Huge, as Bernie says.
Huge, as Bernie says. I also think that Bernie, it's important for him to have the support. He's kind of given short shrift to his identity as an independent.
Well, Ron, you call Ross Perot, one of the few successful third-party candidates, even though he didn't win office. First of all, let's take a listen to a clip of audio from February of 1992. Texas billionaire Ross Perot appeared on CNN's Larry King Live and announced his intention to run as an independent if he could get his name on the ballot in all 50 states.
Is there any scenario in which you would run for president? Can you give me a scenario in which you'd say, okay, I'm in?
Well, number one, I don't want to.
I know, but is
number
there a
two,
scenario?
You know, if you're that serious, you, the people, are that serious, you register me in 50 states. And if you're not willing to organize and do that, then this is all just talk.
Wait, Larry. Are you
I'm playing to the ordinary folks. If you're dead serious,
I want to see some sweat.
Why do I want to see some sweat? I said it earlier. I want you in the ring.
So, Ron, why do you call Perot a successful third-party candidate?
Well, Perot got the highest percentage of vote of any third party since Teddy Roosevelt. He mobilized millions of people. He got about 19% of the vote in 1992. And I think what's really significant was he really was brought into the race by a movement that preceded him. By the time he was on 25 ballots or so, he had actually spent less in 1992 than either Paul Tsongas or Pat Buchanan, who were candidates with very little chance running for the respective party nominations. So he was successful in that he mobilized. He was also successful in that he changed the agenda. The role of the deficit, the role of reform, all those things, and as well as economic nationalism, really had not been on the agenda of the two parties. So what we find in our book, Walt Stone's and mine, is that really one of the main ways that third parties have influenced American politics is by sort of showing there's a constituency, showing there is support for a set of policies, and then being co-opted and absorbed by the major parties. And the Republicans certainly moved to do that in 1994. And the Perot voters are really what gave them that massive win in 1994 with the contract with America, which, by the way, did not mention either abortion or free trade. It really was geared to the Perot supporters.
Murray, you've been working with to sort of support an independent party for a very long time.
Mm-hmm. Well, yes, support an independent party. I was actually involved in the Perot movement as well, but since then, I've been interested in mobilizing independents to have an impact over changing the way elections are done, structural reform that make it possible to open up the ballot to independents. Open primaries, for example,
where you don't have to be either a Democrat or Republican.
And in many states in the country, the primaries are closed, which prevent independents by the millions and millions from being able to participate.
As an independent, I'm well aware of that.
Yes.
I wonder if you're seeing something different this time around. Take a listen to a resident of Atlanta, Ted Barr. He's registered as a Democrat, but he says he might become an independent.
I'm to the point right now where I think both sides are lying at a rate that it's kind of pushing me away from kind of both parties, you know, because you hear them say one thing, but then once they get in the office, it's totally different. They just did it to get elected.
So I wonder if what we're seeing currently is different because we've never seen the American public have a lower opinion of Congress, perhaps in history, than ever before.
Yeah, it is very different. And this election is in some ways all about that. Trump is a wrecking crew for the Republican Party, is really changing that up. And Bernie Sanders is speaking to the wants of independents to address the way the system is rigged, the whole process is rigged. And I think that independents are coming out in droves. In Georgia, there's growing, I think 13% more independents are voting and participating. Though interestingly, also in Georgia, the Republicans are getting many more at least in the primaries, got many more independents than the Democrats did. This go around.
Right. If you're just joining us, you just heard Murray Dabby, co-coordinator of Georgia Independent Voters, and Ron Rappaport is professor of government at the College of William and Mary. So, Ron, I want to read you this tweet from Will Kramer, who is a Republican. He says, my party is so embarrassing, I can't do this anymore. Democrats, $15 minimum wage, me. Oh, yikes. Right. To what extent is Will's sort of crisis right here an example of what Murray is talking about for what's going on with Trump being a one-person wrecking crew in the Republican Party? How many Republicans could possibly become independents because they can't bear to join the Democrats?
Right. Well, I think the question is how many Republicans will vote independent because as we move towards this campaign. In general, parties,
you make that distinction because you mean they won't stop being Republican, they'll remain Republicans but vote independent.
Well, you register for a variety of reasons. So there are undoubtedly more independents than there are people registered as independents. Because like Murray says, if you're not a Democrat, you can't vote in the Democratic primary in many states. If you're not a Republican, you can't vote in the Republican primary in many states. And I think what we're seeing is the push away from the major parties. And although it's more extreme this year, third parties only are successful. And the academic measure of success is 5%, of which there are very few third parties that reach that. But they're only successful if there is not only a push away from the major parties, but a substantive pull to the third party. And that's what Ross Perot had. He had an issue agenda that was different from the major parties. The major parties, neither of them were really interested in the deficit reduction, really. They weren't interested in reform. And so they were kind of together. And Perot staked out a set of issues that distinguished him and pulled supporters to him. Even with that, of course, the knowledge at the time that he was very unlikely to win caused many people who might have voted for Perot to vote for the Democrats or the Republicans.
Yeah. Right?
And I think that Murray's point about structural reform and something like where you could rank your preferences, right? So that if Perot didn't get vote would then go to the Democrat or the Republican, whoever your second choice
was. Right, here's my first choice and my second choice.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We have a couple minutes left, Murray, and I want you to play a sort of dissenting voice here.
Uh-huh.
This is a graduate student at Georgia Tech named Sui Shirley Shari,
mm-hmm.
and he says he actually likes the two-party system.
Mm-hmm.
Coming from a country like India where there are too many parties, too many cooks spoil the broth.
too many cooks spoil the broth. Your response?
I love very, very mixed broth. The voices in the United States are very diverse, and there's no opportunity for expression. It's a winner-take-all system. And so that prevents many different voices from being able to be heard. And you have the kind of two-party polarization, and partyism in general creates polarization that makes it impossible to influence anything, especially if we keep it as a two-party system. Congress is, dysfunctional. And many voters know that, and that's why people are leaving. Now, Bernie's challenge, by the way, on the other hand, moving away from Perot, is what to do with all those independents that follow him, given that he is staying within the Democratic Party. Independents have a bind because they would like to, independents are diverse, just
yes.
like, but the progressive independents are at a bind. They don't know how to follow him, given that he is staying within the Democratic Party. And we want him to speak out on behalf of the structural reform.
That is Murray Dabbe. He's co-coordinator of Georgia Independent Voters. We also spoke with Ron Rappaport, a professor of government at the College of William and Mary. Murray and Ron, thank you both so much.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you very much.
Yes, good.